Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Tom Fairbanks. Tom sporting a big smile on the other side of the glass. He's engineering our show. Always does a great job. Tom and I welcome you to the program on this Friday, the first Friday of October. It's the 2nd of October, 2015. We're live from AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We're streaming our show and podcasts always available for you on my website, buckmastershow.com. And of course, the live stream comes not only on my website, but KVOI's fine website, kvoi.com. Our media partners, thank you, TucsonSentinel.com. Thank you, Inside Tucson Business, Green Valley News, and Sahuarita Sun and TucsonLifestyle.com for prominently displaying a link to the Buckmaster Show on their individual websites. Our Friday Focus interview is with Mr. Rick Myers. Mr. Myers, Tucson representative on the Arizona Board of Regents. The Board of Regents oversees the work of the three state universities here in Arizona. Joining me in studio to question Regent Myers, Sarah Garrett Gasson. Sarah, editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. The live line number, 790-2040. If you have any questions or comments on higher education, well, now is your chance. You'll be speaking with a Board of Regent by calling 790-2040. Our Facebook address. It's easy to find. If you know my name, you can get there. It's Bill Buckmaster, and now we're doing the Twitter thing at Buckmaster Show. Always looking now for new followers on the Twitter site, which has kind of been reactivated. Ladies first, Sarah Garrett Gasson, how are you?
I am doing well. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's good to see you again. And now let's go to the live line, Board of Regent Rick Myers. Rick, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you, Bill.
Well, it's good to have you on the program. As you know, Dr. Lattie Coore, the former ASU president, has now an organization that kind of looks over what needs to be done to improve things in our workforce. Mr. Coore's organization, now why do I not have that right in front of me, the exact name of it? Here it is, Nonpartisan Center for the Future of Arizona. And they put out a report, as you know, Rick, this week, saying that Arizona is not producing enough college graduates to fill the high-tech and other professional jobs that it will take to finally boost the state out of the basement in the area of personal income. Is this surprising to you, or pretty much what you've been saying all along?
Well, it's certainly not surprising. I mean, we live in a competitive world, and part of being competitive is having a workforce that has an educational level to take the high-paying jobs and having great universities that can help support those companies and help us have the products and the services that we need to have.
Are we doing enough, though, Rick?
Well, you know, the Regents have had a goal for the three universities to increase our college graduates. We have a more diverse set of students than we've ever had before. We have a larger set of students. But right now, as a state, about 28.5% of the population over 25 has some type of a baccalaureate degree or above. And that's, you know, 5 or 6 points under the national average, which is a few hundred thousand highly educated people in the workforce that we don't have. And our intent is certainly to try to help more people realize their potential through education.
Let's bring Sarah Garrett Gasson into the conversation. Go ahead, Sarah.
The Regents gave the university presidents, including Ann Weaver Hart, who's president over at the University of Arizona, hefty pay increases within the last week or so. And the question is, I think, in a lot of people's minds, the people at the top are paid very well, maybe not in terms of their peers, you know, being a one-to-one sort of comparison, but they make a hefty salary already. Can you talk about why the Regents felt the need to increase the pay for people doing their jobs?
Well, Sarah, that, you know, that's a fair question, and again, we talk about, we, you know, live in this competitive world. When we hired the presidents, we hired them at a salary that, as you say, was competitive with their peers. Part of what we did, though, is we put a significant portion of that pay at risk. So about 15% of what the presidents earn in their contract is at risk based on them achieving certain milestones, achieving things like increasing graduation rate, other things that we asked for. So much of that money that was given to Dr. Hart and Dr. Crow and Dr. Chang this week came because of the contracts they have and earning a portion of that pay at risk.
Okay. And then the follow-up question is also in that same meeting. The regents on the consent agenda had a faculty and staff pay study that showed that staff has actually lost money compared to within the past decade, and that faculty is still behind their peer institutions. How do you figure that, on one hand, increasing the pay for the presidents, and I understand that's in their contracts, but at the same time, the day-to-day lower paid people, staff, faculty, are just losing ground?
Well, again, we're trying to get the best leaders in our institutions that can help put the strategies in place so that everyone can benefit, the students, the faculty, and everyone. I think the real focus here is working with the governor and the state legislature to get an adequate level of funding for our universities. I mean, you know that per capita spending on higher education in Arizona is the lowest in the country, and we've had the largest percentage of cuts to higher education in the last 6 years versus any other states in the nation. So certainly having leaders like Dr. Hart, who were able to work out the great partnership with Banner that will bring $1 billion to this community in the next few decades, the kinds of things she's doing are absolutely benefiting the state, benefiting the community, and we are all focused on working with this governor and legislature and coming up with an approach that they see this value so that they're able to fund us so we can help everyone to gain what they rightfully deserve.
Do you think realistically there's a chance that that will happen given the gap that the employees have both on staff and faculty compared to their peers? Is the gap fixable?
It has to be fixable, because if we're going to sustain ourselves, we have a lot of great people who are here and they've been here, and that's wonderful, but a lot of them are going to start retiring and they get lured away by other places. And as we look out 10, 20 years, if we don't fix this problem, Sarah, I think we suffer, because the kinds of people that we'll have as faculty and that we'll attract to lead our universities won't be the same high-quality people as we have today.
I want to follow up with a column that was written by Sarah's colleague at the Arizona Daily Star. Tim Steller, I think, did a great job with his column, "A President's Raise is a Sign of UA Corporatization." It is a different ball game in higher education these days, isn't it, Rick Myers?
Well, it is, and I always appreciate reading Tim's columns, but I don't know that I would use that word.
Okay.
When you look at our research universities, they have three primary missions: to educate students, to discover new knowledge, and to have an impact, to make a difference here in Arizona, to help support companies, to help do the things that make our state more competitive. We are absolutely focused on education. As I said, we have a more diverse student body. We have stronger access than we've ever had, with more people from lower socioeconomic levels in our universities than ever before. We're growing our research. We're working at tech transfer, and I think this is an example of for what intent. I could care less, and I shouldn't say it that way, but I could care not very much about the amount of licensing revenue we get when we sell our ideas, if you will, to industry or spin out companies. What I want is more deals. I want us to spin out a whole lot more companies that are going to create jobs. I want us to support the companies that are currently here. So the measure isn't a corporate measure of how much money you're making on this. The measure is how much of a positive impact are we having, so that the economy of Arizona can support more people.
Okay, we have had a caller who has been waiting very patiently, and the reason I didn't go to the caller right away is because it's off topic, but that is certainly all topics are welcome concerning higher education. Shane, sorry it took so long to get to you. Go ahead, you're with Rick Myers.
Good afternoon. Mr. Myers, I just had a question that maybe you could address. Some people I know work in the Master Gardening Program down here in Tucson. And they had told me that there's quite a lot going on between ASU and U of A and the land-grant universities dealing with that program, some of it contentious, and I wondered if you could address any of that.
Well, Shane, I apologize. I don't know the details. I mean, we're doing things all the time between the three universities, but I'm not aware. So if you want to... If you want to send me an email or something, I'd be happy to follow up. I'm just not familiar with that particular program.
Rick, where can Shane get a hold of you, please?
If he just wants to give me a phone call or send me an email, my email's on our ABOR website, and I'd be very happy to get back with you. So if you contact the ABOR office, they can get us together, Shane.
Okay, Shane.
I appreciate it.
That's the Arizona Board of Regents website. You can get a hold of Mr. Myers. Okay, Mr. Fairbanks, I think this would be a good point to take a break. And callers, hold on. We'll get to you, and Rick Myers will stick around for another segment, another 15 minutes. And so let's take our first break here on The Buckmaster Show.
Could ever be.
It's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2 hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson, it's the way to go.
Pedestrian projects funded by the Regional Transportation Authority are now under construction at Treat Avenue and Broadway Boulevard and Craycroft Road in Fort Lowell Park. The crosswalk improvements provide added pedestrian safety. More than 37 high-intensity activated crosswalks have been funded by the RTA to date. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garber on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
All right, welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Our bumper music, kind of our intermission music that we have selected, we try to do on Friday, kind of lighten it up a little bit, and it's 60s music, and this time Jerry Butler from my hometown of Chicago. He had some really great hits in the 60s, including He Will Break Your Heart, which we were just listening to. Sarah Garrett Gasson is with me in studio. Sarah is the fine editorial columnist and editorial writer for the Arizona Daily Star. And on our live line, we have Rick Myers, a member of the Arizona Board of Regents. Mr. Myers, your colleague, Mark Killian, announced he will be leaving the board. About 4 or 5 months ago, he was named the agriculture director shortly after he had criticized Governor Ducey for the budget cuts to higher education. So your thoughts on Mark Killian leaving, Rick Myers?
Well, Mark Killian is an outstanding regent and a good friend. And, you know, a number of us have, I don't know if I'd use the word criticize, but we've certainly expressed our concern with the focus on higher education not being what it needs to be. But Mark is the director of agriculture for the state, is just extremely busy. And I know that this was a tough decision for him. But, you know, being a regent is a volunteer position, and we serve for 8 years. Mark served 6 years of that, worked very hard, and it's just very difficult to do something like run a major agency for the state and put the time into a board that is needed.
How many members are there on the Board of Regents? And he would represent, Mr. Killian was representing the Phoenix area, I assume?
Yeah. Well, you know, we all technically represent everyone.
Okay.
We represent the citizens of the state. There are 8 of us appointed by the governor for 8-year terms. There's a student regent that's also appointed by the governor. And then the governor and the superintendent of public instruction are both ex officio members of the regents.
Let's go to the live line again. We have a caller who's been waiting very patiently. Her name is Ingrid, and she would like to speak with Regent Rick Myers. Go ahead, Ingrid.
Oh, good afternoon. You spoke earlier about the need to follow through on a contract which requires additional compensation for having achieved certain goals. Wouldn't you say, though, that the main salary is too high to begin with? Are we not making a mistake by giving such high salaries? Of course, I'm talking about President Hart. The other thing I'd like to bring up is, maybe I'll let that go for the moment.
Okay, high salaries, Rick Myers.
Yeah, Ingrid, it's a tough thing. I mean, when we do the searches and hire these presidents. You know, Dr. Hart was hired 3 years ago. A year ago, we hired a new president for NAU. We're in a national competition, and people are seeking out these individuals, and many of them have a current job that they're leaving. And it's pretty much, if you're going to attract a high-quality person here, and they're leaving a current high-quality job, I can be very open with you and say, with everything we gave Dr. Hart, she came here for less money because she wanted to come back out to the West. Her mother lives in Utah. She grew up in Utah. And at this point in her career, she wanted to be out here. And she wanted to work with U of A because it's a great research university. But she took a pay cut when she came here. So none of us are trying to give away the state's money or our student tuition money. But we are trying to attract high-quality people, and when they're looking at making a life-changing move, the salary that we offer them is a key part of that.
Okay, let's bring Sarah Garrett Gasson back. Or did Ingrid have another question? Ingrid, are you still there?
Yes, just quickly. Regarding students, not having enough students being graduated and so forth, are students who go through computer training programs are really prepared to tackle all the constant changes that are being made in the industry? Are they just thrown out of a job, and then the next crop of graduating students comes in and takes care of the new technology? I'll hang up. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ingrid. And Rick Myers knows a little bit about the high tech field, in it for many years. Go ahead, Rick.
Yeah, I'm a former IBM vice president.
There you go.
I do know that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, all of us, as we're educated, we learn the technology at the time. And our three universities stay very current on making sure our students are graduating with the best knowledge. But we also learn how to learn. And I think one of our things we do as professionals is, as we enter the workforce, it's not up to us to say, well, this is what I learned 10 years ago in school. You know, all of us have to stay current, because the new students that are going to be graduating absolutely are going to be current, because their universities are going to keep them that way.
Okay.
So I think part of what we generate are very smart people, but we also generate people who know how to stay smart because they know how to continue to educate themselves.
All right, let's bring Sarah back into the conversation. Sarah Gerritgassen.
I like how you say that, Bill. Recently there was a study released through the Board of Regents about the readiness of Arizona high school students when they graduate, and the graduation requirements to get out of to graduate from high school in Arizona do not match the course requirements, the number of units, types of classes, all that sort of thing, to get into a university in Arizona. In the Arizona Daily Star, we editorialized that they should match. It should be an exception that a student can graduate and not be at least have the option of getting into a university, because you need to plan your courses in high school. So what are your thoughts on that? Should they match?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Sarah, I thought the editorial was outstanding. I totally agree with that. Not everyone needs to go to college, and I say this to people all the time. I was the first in my family to ever go to college, and my parents had a great life, and my siblings have great lives, and we need a complex society with people that can do so many things in different walks of life. But we want everyone to be able to realize their potential, and we don't want someone not to be able to pursue higher education if they want, because they didn't realize they needed to take certain courses to be prepared so they could be successful in college. My experience, from what I've seen talking to so many people, is young people will rise to the bar we set for them. And if we're not in this state setting a bar that gives the opportunity for every single high school graduate that has good grades, you know, to successfully be able to move on to higher education of some form, then we haven't set the bar high enough for them. So I very, very much support what you said there. And if I could come back to your earlier question just one second.
Of course.
Our cost per student in this state to provide an education, so what it costs us is about, I'm going to round it off, but $15,000 per student. And when we compare that and benchmark it against California schools, you know, other schools that we're competing with that are research universities as well, that's a good cost. We're providing a high-quality education for the money. The state gives us about $5,000 of that $15,000 for each in-state student. The tuition and fees is about another $6,000. So we're $4,000 short. And that $4,000 in general is coming from out-of-state students who are paying a lot more for tuition, who are helping to offset the costs of our in-state students. And so we just submitted our budget request to the governor. We've asked for $33 million of restoration from the $100 million cut last year, because we think that cut was much larger than it needed to be. We've also asked for new funding of about $60 million a year in 2017, with about $43 million of that going to helping to offset the cost for in-state students, and the other $20 going to some very deferred maintenance on some of our buildings. So we're not even asking for the full cutback, but what we are trying to get the state to focus on is where they used to be 5-6 years ago, providing 70% of the funding for every in-state student. Right now, they're only providing 34% of the funding for in-state students. So back to your point, if we can help the legislature and the governor see that their responsibility isn't to pay for all the research, it's not to pay for all the other things the university does, but it is to help offset the cost for that in-state education. And I really do believe, as we can get people to focus on that and they see that that's what the dollars are being used for, that we can get the state to reinvest more.
Rick, the University of Arizona will put a veterinary school in Oro Valley by 2017. This is a big deal for the area, isn't it?
Yes, and now that is a separate request. So that isn't part of the general fund that would offset education. But in this new budget, we've asked for $8 million to help fit out that capability and build that capability here in the state. U of A is a wonderful land-grant university with a great medical school, but it's never had its own veterinary school. Dr. Shane Burgess, who's our Dean of Agriculture, has brought a very creative approach to doing this, reaching out and working with vets across the state. And we need this for large animals. We need this for people's pets. We also need it for food safety and all kinds of things that are part of the border. So it's an important part of the economy. And having a vet school here in our community will be outstanding.
Okay, we're going to keep it another extra minute or so here, Tom. Mr. Fairbanks in the other room, so he knows we're going to carry this over a couple more minutes with Rick Myers, so Sarah can ask another question. Go ahead, Sarah.
My colleague Carol Ann Alimo had a story recently in the Arizona Daily Star about a professor who received tenure, even though there were findings that she had plagiarized from a grad student in some materials that she presented as her own. What kind of message does that send to students? I mean, I teach over there, and I'm very concerned what kind of message that sends, and I'm curious what you think.
Well, what I can say, I mean, we can't certainly talk about the details of individual situations.
Of course.
When there is a situation of plagiarism, that is covered under the university's policies. It's covered under federal policies for the research money that we're given, and there's a thorough investigation. And there are degrees of actions that are taken that can go all the way from letting the person go to a certain type of reprimand to absolutely withdrawing the information and correcting it. And so, generically, I absolutely know that there's a very thorough process that's gone through. And I'm sure that was done. In fact, I know more of the details, and I know it was done in this case. The tenure decision is something different based on overall faculty, you know, educational contributions, their research. And so all I can say is, you know, it's not as simple as just saying, well, someone plagiarized and they should never have anything good happen in their life again because they made a mistake. Sometimes it is more of a mistake than a purposeful thing. There are a lot of extenuating circumstances, and all I can say is I do believe the provost, the president, others that reviewed this, looked at how the investigation was done, and also looked at the tenure for the faculty. They made the decision they felt was right for the U of A.
Okay.
I'm sorry that I can't share more of the detail.
Okay, we are really out of time, but I know Matthew's been waiting. Matthew, because I'm such a nice guy today, I'm going to go with you and extend this another minute or so. And it says here on my board that you've got two questions. So I'll give you like about 15 seconds to summarize what the two questions are, please. Go ahead, Matthew.
Number one, Regent Myers, you absolutely get what you pay for, and you are doing a great job with President Hart. I know the optics are bad, but that's what you get. You get quality people who lead this university, not just today, but into the future. So I support what you're doing. I'm sorry about the budget constraints for the rest of the university. I just came from the dedication for the Keno Park overpass, and I'd like to let you know that, you know, that project was built specifically so we could link the U of A with the Tech Park, and I hope you guys are keep your eye on that Tech Park and keep the funding going there. It's important for the future of Southern Arizona and Arizona. And three, there is a current study out there explaining that students benefit from time, culturally. That's the reason they fail in college, is a lot of students are not assimilated well into school because they come from poorer backgrounds. It's not because of their lack of education. Thank you very much. Bye.
Oh, okay. Matthew snuck a third one in there. Rick, just summarize his remarks, please.
Well, Matthew, all good comments, and I appreciate your support of Dr. Hart and the things she's doing to help this university. By the way, I was very involved with the RTA a number of years ago, so I think these transportation projects are absolutely critical, and I'd throw in the modern streetcar as well and what it's done between the university and downtown. And we are focused on tech transfer. In fact, I'll be spending a day in Phoenix next Wednesday with business leaders and tech transfer people from the university, and we're having a brainstorming session on how we can further get the universities to help improve our economy here in the state. So all very good comments.
Okay. Rick Myers, we're going to let you go, and we thank you very much for spending a good portion of your lunch hour with us. Thanks, Rick.
Well, thank you, Bill and Sarah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Rick Myers with us on the Buckmaster Show. 12:34, bumper music now. Let's go to Jerry Butler.
Breaking up is so very hard to do. If you really love him, then there's nothing I can do. Don't try to spare my feelings, just tell me that we're through and make it easy on yourself.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Sometimes opportunity knocks. You've definitely met opportunity, and it may have even found you online. Opportunity also calls. It calls to see if you have an open appointment, even though it's really last minute. It calls to place a rush order for delivery, and it calls to ask about your holiday hours. With Cox Business Voice Manager, you can always follow up with opportunity. So when it leaves a voicemail, you'll get it right to your email, which means all of your important messages reach you online. With Cox Business, you'll never miss an opportunity, no matter how it presents itself.
Bundle Cox Business Voice Manager and Internet for only $99 per month with a one-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card. Mention reward promo to qualify. Online redemption required. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 1/3/16. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Other restrictions apply.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
This is not the first time it's happened before.
What a great voice. Jerry Butler from my hometown of Chicago. Kind of our 60s Bump music today, Mr. Butler performing. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This is our Friday roundtable portion. A bit abbreviated today because we had quite a bit to say with Rick Myers of the Arizona Board of Regents. Sarah Garrett Gasson is with me in a moment. We'll be joined by David Safir, who is our kind of our blogger beat correspondent here on the Buckmaster Show. He blogs about education, does a very good job at the Tucson Weekly. But Sarah, good news for football fans and fans that want to improve our economy, and I think that's probably everybody. We're going to be getting a bowl game here, and it's going to be December 29th at Arizona Stadium, Nova Loans. It'll be the Arizona Bowl presented by Nova Loans. So this is good news.
It is. I think the Tucson has suffered from it's sort of a why don't we have one. I know we had one for many years and then
Copper
it went away.
Ball, yeah.
Yes, went to some of those, froze my self at the in the nosebleed seats during a couple of those because they played them at night.
Yeah.
But this is going to start at 5:30.
5:30, yeah. And TV will be an issue because from what I understand, ESPN's locked in that day. They've got three games already, but I'm sure there'll be another carrier that will pick it up. And who knows, maybe down the line they can get ESPN going. But, you know, it's good to see that kind of that will bring in revenue from the fans and the teams that will come here.
Absolutely, and it's a beautiful way to kind of highlight what Tucson has to offer, especially when it's the dead of winter everywhere else in the country.
You know, speaking of, I was mentioning David Safir, who blogs for the Tucson Weekly. Jim Ninsel, our friend, one of our contributors to our Friday roundtable, had an excellent cover story, A Tale of Two Cities. Pretty much when you talk to the three incumbent, the three Democrats running standing for re-election, and I speak with the three Republicans, and I've met them all and talked with both sides, and it's like they're talking about a different city.
Yes, absolutely. And I mean, it happens sort of every election cycle, but having them talk about the achievements and what needs to happen in Tucson, it really is two different experiences. And I think it's one's very positive, trying to run for re-election, and then the tendency, I mean, you wouldn't be running against someone if you thought they were doing a great job.
Yeah, if they were saying, well, I don't really see any problem with this, if they were running against somebody and saying a problem, no, they're doing a good job.
Right.
Well, okay.
Right.
Why are you running then?
Exactly. Yeah. So I think that's sort of, it's the positive versus the negative, and the truth is probably somewhere in the middle.
There you go. Now, let's go to the live line, our friend David Safir, who has been writing about these. It's now like you need, we're speaking of sports and a football game, you need a program now, David, to understand all these education plans and the latest coming out formally from State Superintendent of Public Instruction Diane Douglas with her plan. David, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill, and it's a great time to talk because Diane Douglas's plan is heady and serious, and once again confirms what I've been saying, and remember that I'm as far away from her politically as one can be, that this is someone who is worth taking seriously and someone who wants to do good things for Arizona students, and she gets a very bad rap from many, many people in the media. They need to look at her more seriously and not just look at some of the antics, which are really power struggles and have very, very little to do with education.
Well, I'm happy to report, David, that Diane Douglas is going to be a guest on my program not once, but twice. She'll be with me in October, the latter part of October, and then we're going to sit down for a whole half hour in November. So that is a positive in the right direction.
Let me give her a preview then. She just came out with something, which is she had a news conference about it, but it's a 156-page pamphlet, and it's also online, called Arizona Kids Can't Afford to Wait, and that's a title after my own heart, because the Ducey plan and the Republican plan are all let's do it later. The Democratic plan wants to do it now. Diane Douglas wants to do it now, too. And what I see from this, and I haven't had a chance to pore over it, it just came out, but what I see from it is that this is someone who went on a listening tour last year and really listened because a lot of the details, a lot of the proposals in here are things you can't possibly come up with sitting in an administrative office up in Phoenix in the state capital area. These are things that she heard from teachers and from parents, and though I disagree with some of them, and I'm sure I'll disagree with more when I see details, a lot of it is very good.
And none of them call Sarah for a tax increase, which is very interesting.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the magic that will happen in the state capitol to figure that out. I was wondering, David, do you think she will be effective given the relationship with the governor and the Republican legislature, that just the personalities? Can she possibly be effective in advocating for this?
The question for me, sir, is effective compared to what? Hoopenthal had a better relationship with them, but when he pushed something, an agenda that they didn't like, it was ignored too. So I think we've got to put it in context. The way she'll be effective is I think she's using the bully pulpit with this statement and some other statements she's had to get more people on her side. And the thing that makes me feel a little bit optimistic is many of the things in this 156-page document, Democrats, like me, for instance, can agree with, and some of them also, a lot of her constituents who are quite right-wing, they're the people who put her in office, can agree as well. So there may be a strange coalition form, maybe something like the coalition that Jan Brewer formed, Governor Brewer, when she got the Medicaid expansion through. So I have to live in hope for this, especially as a retired teacher. The woman loves teachers. I hear so much teacher bashing on the right, failing schools, failing teachers, unions, this, that, and the other thing. And this woman loves teachers. She wants to give $400 million to increase teacher salaries. She wants more in-class training. She wants teacher mentors, people working with the new teachers. And one idea which is so obvious that everyone should have thought of it before, and that is, we can't get enough teachers in rural areas. We can't get teachers anywhere, but we especially can't get them in rural areas. Everybody's suffering. So she says, let's create an educational development zone. When people sign up to teach in rural areas and are willing to teach for 5 years, we can forgive a good part of their student loans. If they make less than $70,000 a year, they don't have to pay state taxes. If they buy classroom supplies, and I'm not sure if I have this right, but it looks like she wants them to get a tax credit for classroom supplies. Exactly how that would work, I don't know. No sales tax for these school districts and schools when they buy supplies. In other words, she sees the problem and comes up with a solution that is to attract good teachers to these areas. And I had one of those things where I had my loans forgiven because I taught in high-poverty schools for a while, some of my student loans. It's an excellent idea and one that everyone should support.
Well, David, one good thing that David and Sarah, that is nice when you look at the big picture, we've got all these plans, the big picture being rarely do we ever talk about education funding outside of a legislative session. It usually comes up in February or March. This time, the tone is being set. So you would think that when the legislature gets back in business in January, this is going to be at the top of the agenda.
And maybe there's going to be a special session. Apparently Republicans are powwowing right now, getting together and talking about having a special session, and there are three different proposals at the least. But you know, a lot of the things, and I want to get back to this document, a lot of the things in there don't have to do with funding. For instance, she doesn't like the emphasis we have on testing, high-stakes testing, and I say amen to that. She says the high-stakes test should come every 2 or 3 years, not every year. And meanwhile, we should have little short quiz tests for kids to see where they are, check the temperature, see how things are going, with immediate results so the kids and the teachers can use it immediately. De-emphasize the tests. When it comes to the A through F letter grades, she says these letter grades shouldn't just be for tests. They should be for how well people are dealing with their graduation rates, how well they're getting incorporating art, music into their program, things of this nature. She wants to broaden it out. These are wonderful ideas that educators all across the board can support. And I think people need to take this person, Diane Douglas, more seriously than they took her originally. And again, this is someone who supported, not her, but David Garcia strongly, and said very critical things about her when she was running. But I have been impressed by the fact that she's saying things that I never thought would come out of a Republican superintendent of public instruction.
And we haven't heard, Common Core was brought up, too, in her remarks yesterday. She wants to end Common Core.
She does. But at the same time, she says, listen, we're not going to just kind of wipe it out. What we need to do is have Arizona standards. So we need to look at the Common Core standards one by one and see what makes most sense for this state. Well, I'm kind of neutral on Common Core, actually. The testing is what bothers me, and that's why I don't like the Common Core regimen. But if we have our own standards, whether we do it Common Core or not, I hope they're rigorous, and the Common Core standards are pretty rigorous, so I hope that won't go in the wrong direction. This is an area where she and I are probably going to differ, and there are other areas we differ. Like, she doesn't like the idea of ethnic studies programs, which I do like.
Okay.
She wants to emphasize phonics in elementary school, and I'm not sure that that's there should be a greater emphasis, but
okay.
I'm very impressed, Bill.
David Saphir, thank you very much. We'll look for your work at The Range. That's the column on TucsonWeekly.com. David, very knowledgeable about education. And David, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, Bill.
Okay, David Saphir with us. Before we wrap it up, political news, Sarah Kelly Ward, who is the state senator from Arizona's 5th District, in July, she announced that she is going to be challenging John McCain in the Republican primary.
Yes.
And a big development today for those that were wondering. We'd heard all sorts of rumors, Sarah, that Congressman Matt Salmon would be getting in. He's not.
No, he is not. And I think she is the only remaining challenger to Senator McCain. So I don't.
Going to be interesting.
Yes.
To see what happens with State Senator Kelly Ward trying to become a United States Senator. All right, we're going to wrap it up with our Friday roundtable, but we'll have our weekend watch. We'll be coming up with Matt Russell with some great tips on what to do this weekend. There's never a shortage, Sarah, of things to do, especially this time of year.
I was just going to say that. It's October and is the something to
prime
do every
time.
Single minute in Tucson.
Go.
And if you just want to be outside, that's perfectly lovely too.
All right, Sarah, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right, we'll be right back on Buckmaster.
Moon River, wider than a mile, I'm crossing you in style someday.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering on its promises with more than 660 completed transportation improvements, pedestrian and bicycle safety upgrades, new sidewalks and bike lanes, as well as roadway transit and traffic signal technology improvements are helping people and goods move across our region. The RTA and its member jurisdictions are working together to offer you more options. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Mm-hmm.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amato is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday, the Monday Political Face-Off features commentators Bruce Ash and Paul Ackerstrom, plus our monthly visit with former U.S. Army Chief of Staff General John Wickham. Buckmaster during the noon hour on Tucson's AM 1030, KVOI The Voice, with Anywhere in the World live streaming, podcasts, and archive on my website, buckmastershow.com. Time for Weekend Watch, hosted by Matt Russell, Inside Tucson food and beverage columnist and award-winning Tucson publicist, brought to us by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Just 3 hours away, time for a road trip over to Silver City. What a great time of year. This weekend is the 17th annual Pinos Altos October Fiesta in historic Pinos Altos, which is a neat community just to the north of Silver City. Pinos Altos at about 7,000 feet. So I would say the autumn leaves will be turning. It should be a great outdoor fiesta in Pinos Altos. You can find out more about New Mexico Silver City in Grant County by visiting southwestnewmexico.org, with the full listing of great places to stay like Bear Mountain Lodge and Casitas de Gila guest houses. Let's welcome now Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. I tell you what, the weekend is calling my name right about now.
And something tells me there'll be some kind of a grand opening somewhere in town.
Yeah, you know, the local beer community continues to expand, and this afternoon kicks off the grand opening weekend for the new kid on the block, the Tucson Hop Shop on Dodge near Fort Lowell. Now, these guys are part craft beer bottle shop, part growler filling station, and part urban beer garden, featuring an impressive lineup of beers for every personality and palate, including some of our very own local Tucson brews. And tonight at 5 o'clock, Bill, the Mr. Cookman's food truck is going to be stopping by to serve up some great Louisiana-inspired barbecue. I say check out the Tucson Hop Shop this weekend and raise a glass in celebration of our local stud scene.
Yeah, hop on over. That's H-O-P shop. Okay, it's chili time of year.
Yeah, for those of who love a great bowl of chili like I do, you need to be at Jonathan's Cork on Tancredi Road tomorrow from noon to 2 for the annual chili cook-off to raise money for the Send a Kid to Camp program. Now, 10 local restaurants are going to be on hand serving up their steaming selections, including Jonathan's and Kingfisher, Noble Hops, and a number of others. And you get to taste them all before casting your vote for the best. Now, I'm sure there's going to be a wide range of flavors and styles there, Bill, but I certainly hope one of these guys really brings the heat. $10 gets you in the door for the chili cook-off tomorrow.
Jonathan, really an iconic Tucson restaurateur.
Indeed he is.
What's going on at the Children's Museum? There's an event, I believe, coming up this weekend.
Yeah, it's time again to enjoy a grown-ups only evening at Children's Museum Tucson, featuring a sensory experience of live performances, playfully inspired libations and culinary creations from some of Tucson's most creative chefs. It's the annual Evening of Play, and it's tomorrow night at the Children's Museum downtown. Tickets are $125, and that includes all the food, all the beverages, some amazing live entertainment, a great auction, and my favorite part of the evening, scotch and s'mores, all to benefit one of the top children's museums in the country. You must not miss an Evening of Play tomorrow night.
And what shall we look for, and what can we look for in Inside Tucson Business in your fine column?
Yes, thank you, sir. October is National Pizza Month, and I spoke with two local pizza chefs who have some fun things planned to celebrate the occasion, and they want to hear from the community to add our ideas to the mix. Something tells me there's a contest coming on, and all the delicious details are in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business.
And I know where they can find a judge, Matt Russell.
I'm here to serve, Bill.
Thank you, sir. Have a great weekend.
You too. Thanks.
The Bill Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, wholly responsible for its content. Our thanks to all of our friends here at KVOI, including station owners Doug and Mary Martin, Tom Fairbanks, Ed Alexander, Ray Allen, and, of course, ace production man Jerry Cross. And Rosemary Brandt, can't forget Rosemary, taking care of our website. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great weekend. See you Monday.